Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
To share this again, I shared this yesterday at the summit, and I feel it to share it today. Kind of got a different message for the second service, but if you have Matthew chapter 6 with you, verse number 8 to verse number 13, the word of the Lord says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." So here Jesus is instructing his disciples, don't be like them or the unbelievers. He says, because your Father already knows the things you have need of. God already knows what our needs are. And so for some, that will lead to the question, well, if God already knows what we need, then why do we need to pray? If he's a good God and knows what we have need of, shouldn't he already meet our needs? And then he proceeds to tell them, after this manner, therefore, pray. So even though God already knows what you need, you still need to pray. And of course, we know the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus gave the model prayer not as a prayer to recite. Because if you were just to recite this prayer, your prayer life would be reduced to 30 seconds. But rather, this is the model prayer to give to us to give us information as to what kind of things to pray for and to pray about. So I want to talk to you about some of the challenges that we have in prayer. And some of those challenges are based from questions that we can't sometimes answer or fully comprehend. And talk to you about, does prayer make any difference? Does prayer make any difference? Or the prayer that makes a difference? I think that's what it's got over there. Okay. Well, whatever. Prayer doesn't make any difference. Let us pray, shall we? Lift up your voices one more time. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for this wonderful worship, Lord, that we can enter into the presence of God. We can feel, Lord, in the depth of our spirit, the touch of your spirit in our hearts. Once again today, we ask you, Lord, to speak to us. Help us to get closer to you. Help us to grow spiritually. Help us to understand, Lord God, as you give us this desire and the burden, Lord, help us to know you more and more. Anoint your servant and the people of God. Have your way in this house, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible tells us that the goodness of God will follow us all the days of our lives. God is good. And part of his goodness is that he has given to us, his people, the simplicity of things that we could gain access to God and to all the blessings and the privileges that are due to his people. He gave us faith, and faith is not something that is complicated. Faith is something that is very simple to understand. You don't have to have a theological degree to understand what faith is. It's simply believing. And of course, there's a depth to prayer that faith must be accompanied with obedience. Faith without works, James says, is dead faith. And we don't want a dead faith. We want faith that is alive. So if you believe something, then you're going to act upon that belief. God also, in his goodness, gave us something as basic and simple as prayer to communicate with God. Prayer, again, is for some, they, you know, particularly even in the church, have this idea that prayer is something that is reserved for the spiritual ones. You know, Sister so-and-so who goes to prayer meeting, and Brother so-and-so who is a bit more spiritual. No, prayer is given to everyone. The reason why it is so basic and simple is that everybody can communicate with God. It's not left to the spiritual elites. There is no spiritual gifts of prayer. We have the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And prayer is not one of the gifts. It's not a gift because it is incumbent upon every believer to be able to at least have the opportunity and the ability to talk to God. And it's in most simplest definition, prayer is communion or communication with the Lord. God gave us something that simple that it's not complicated. It's not, well, if you can, you know, solve 20 riddles and if you can get through this maze hedge, then you can, when you get to the end, then you can talk to God. No, he said it is as simple as communicating with the Lord. You can talk to God with a loud voice, or you can talk to him in a quiet form. But God hears us. No matter where you are, you can talk to God in church, in the house of the Lord. Or you can talk to him in your house, in the bedroom, on the job. God forbid I've even talked to him while I was in the bathroom. I say, Lord, forgive me, but God gave us something that is so simple, yet it is so powerful and profound. And I submit to you that prayer is one of for some Christians, one of the last things that we do, and one of the first things that seems to disappear from a person's life who begins to walk away from God. Prayer is something that we struggle with, yet even though it is so simple, yet we find it difficult. And perhaps that's part of the difficulty, is that it is so simple that we don't prioritize prayer, that we don't put an emphasis on it, that somehow we don't give enough deliberate attention to our prayer lives. For some, the struggle is that prayer has become routine, and that's great. It needs to be a routine. It should be a regular habit of discipline for the child of God. But that routine can sometimes have a way of dulling down the fervency and the passion in prayer. And I want you to know that if you are not praying, then I question whether you are a Christian. Because prayer is synonymous with Christianity. Amen. Prayer is the gift that God has given us to be able to access God, but yet somehow we struggle with this simple thing called prayer, because perhaps it is so simple in its entirety. It is simple, yet I want you to remember that it is also very powerful and profound. And perhaps one of the greatest struggles that we have is when we start to conceive and think about how this God, who is all-powerful, who is unimaginably powerful, the creator of all life, who is able to do anything, who spans all time, space, and eternity, This deep and infinite God whom Paul describes in the book of Romans chapter 11. Praise the Lord, sister. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Perhaps the struggle that we have is coming to grips with this understanding of how this amazing and awesome and powerful God, who spans all time and space and beyond, who is transcendent of all material life, can somehow be interested in little bitty me. This may be the struggle for some, that this God that is so big, how would he have the consideration for somebody as insignificant and tiny as me on this planet, little old me on this big planet? And maybe there's some here today that you feel that that's you, that somehow maybe even in this church that nobody really knows you. Nobody knows your name, and nobody really, you kind of sneak into the service and then you sneak out and don't really know anybody, and you may be coming for a while, but yet you don't know anyone. They don't know your name, and you might think that you're insignificant. And we can sort of struggle with this idea. How can a great big God see this little old me? But I want you to know something today, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that this mighty God, the Bible says that he has numbered the hairs upon our heads. That he says he will not allow one sparrow to fall, to diminish without his knowledge. And he said, how much more are you of great value to this great God? How much more are you important to him? Especially those of you that have heard the gospel and have given your life to him, and somehow you hear his voice and you give your life to the Lord, and you become so valuable to him. You become so important to God. Let me remind you that when you pray, when you lift up your voice, God hears your prayers. Amen. The Bible tells us that in the book of Revelation chapter 8, that the prayers of the saints of God, the angel, it says in this wonderful scene of this imagery of an angel that takes the fire from the altar of incense that was to burn day and night, that he takes the fire from the altar of incense and puts it in a censer, a bowl, if you will, and he mixes it together with the prayers of the saints. Amen. The prayers of the saints is you and I, brothers and sisters. You are the saints of God. You are called a saint of God in the New Testament because you have been sanctified. That's what the word saint means. It means you've been sanctified. If you've been born again of water and the Spirit, then you are a saint of God. And in Revelations 8, the Bible says he takes the prayers of the saints, your prayers and my prayers, and he mixes it together with the incense from the altar, and he brings it up before the throne of God. And then a couple of verses later, the Bible says he takes that same censer and he tips it over into the earth so that all the prayers that have gone up by the saints will eventually come down upon the earth with the answers to the prayers of the saints. Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that your prayers, they never die. Amen, that they will be answered. They might not be answered today. It might not even be answered tomorrow or next year. But I want you to know every voice, every word that is projected out of your mouth into heaven, God hears it. He bottles up every tear, not a bunch of tears, but just every tear that falls from your eyes. The Bible says he bottles it up. And remember that every prayer that you make, God hears that prayer. It's never unheard. Not one word will fall to the ground without God's understanding and his knowledge. Oh, I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying to you today. Your prayers are valuable. You might think that you're nobody. How could God listen to me? Listen, God hears you. He's moved by your tears. He's moved by your prayers. He understands the cry of your heart. He said his ear, it is not heavy that he cannot hear. Oh, but every prayer God hears from you. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord and give him praise. Hallelujah. Perhaps, maybe that's not an issue or a concept that you struggle with, but maybe there is another concept you might struggle with. The concept is often asked by children in Sunday school. It is somewhat of a simple question, but the question is, how can God hear everyone's prayers all at the same time? Have you ever wondered that? We're all sitting in here today, a couple of hundred people here, and we're all praying at the same time. How can God hear my prayer and then hear my brother's prayer across the room and hear somebody else's prayer from the other side of the world all at the same time? And think, well, how is that going to happen? Well, that's probably why God doesn't hear my prayers, because there's so many prayers that he's got to answer all at the same time. I must admit, this is a simple, but yet it is a difficult question to answer. And I think C.S. Lewis, he has a take on this that may be helpful to us today in understanding this concept. C.S. Lewis, and if you would bear with me to read just a few passages from his book, Mere Christianity, he says in the chapter Time and Beyond Time, Lewis says that answering this question, how can God attend to several hundred million prayers at the same moment in time? Lewis addresses this matter. And he says, almost certainly God is not in time, he says. His life does not consist of moments following one another, as does ours. If a million people are praying to him at 10:30 tonight, he need not listen to them all in that one little snippet of time, which we call 10:30. 10:30 and every other moment from the beginning of the world is always the present for God. If you like to put it that way, he has all eternity in which to listen to the split second of prayer put up by a pilot as his plane is crashing in flames. He says, this is difficult to understand. But he says, let me try to give you something, not the same, but a little bit like it. He gives a little analogy. He says, suppose I am writing a novel. I write in that novel the words, Mary laid down her work. The next moment came a knock at the door. For Mary, who has to live in the imaginary time of my story, there is no interval between putting down the work and hearing the knock. But I, who am Mary's maker, do not live in that imaginary time at all. He says, between writing the first half of that sentence and the second, I might sit down for 3 hours and think steadily about Mary. I could think about Mary as if she was the only character in the book, and for as long as I please, and the hours I spent in doing so would not appear in Mary's time in the book, the time inside the story at all. He said, this is not a perfect illustration, of course, but it may just give us a glimpse of what I believe to be the truth, that God is not hurried along in the time stream of this universe any more than an author is hurried along in the imaginary time of his own novel. He has infinite attention to spare for each one of us. He does not have to deal with us in the mass. You are as much alone with him as if you were the only being he ever created. When Christ died, he died for you individually, just as much as you had been the only man or woman in this world. Amen. According to C.S. Lewis, when you pray, it's as if you're stepping into the dimension of the eternal. Amen. That's why God is not bound by our time. He's not limited to the chronology of our time clock, that seconds and minutes and moments that goes by. He stands outside of time. And so when you pray, he hears your prayers not within the confines of time, but he hears your prayers, as it were, through the echo of eternity that has no time. Amen. And if eternity has no time, if you will, then it's as if your prayers are constantly before God. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, this is how powerful prayer is when you begin to talk to the Lord, when you enter into your prayer closet, you close that door, you get on your knees, and you begin to call upon the name of Jesus. It's as if you step into the dimension and the realm of eternity. It's as if you are suspended between earth and heaven. Oh, the moment you open up your mouth, you can be in the middle of
a crisis. You can be in the middle of the job. You can be right where you are, sitting there today. But when you begin to commune with God, all of a sudden, the physical material world begins to fade in the background, and you are in the presence of eternity. That's why the writer of Romans says, come boldly before the throne of grace. What throne? We don't have a throne in here. When you begin to pray in faith, you come before the throne room of God. You come into the very palace and presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you pray, you enter into a new dimension. Oh, I wish to God this morning somebody would get a revelation of just how powerful your prayer is. You don't have to sound all eloquent. You don't have to pray like the King James Bible. You don't have to sound like Alexander Scorby. Oh, but from the simple cries of your heart, this God, he hears every prayer. This God will incline his ear to the cries of your heart. How does he hear all of our prayer at the same time? Oh, because he's the God of eternity. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands one more time. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's why you ought to pray all the time. That's why you never underestimate the power of your prayers. Oh, if only God could pull back the curtain of the reality of the spiritual world that we could see. Jacob understood that. When Jacob was on the run, he ran from his brother who wanted to kill him. And so Jacob lied down in the middle of the wilderness. There was no motel on the way to Laban, his uncle's place, but all he had was a stone for a pillow. He didn't even have a sleeping bag with him. But that night, in the middle of the wilderness, God visited him in a dream. And in that dream, God revealed to him a ladder that ascended up into heaven. And he began to see angels ascend and descend. And what God was trying to reveal to him, that this might look like an ordinary wilderness. Oh, but if you can open your spiritual perception, if you can open up your spiritual eyes, you could recognize that God is here. And when Jacob woke up from out of that sleep, he said, this is none other than the house of God. What house are you talking about, Jacob? There's no walls, there's no roof, there's no door. It was just a plain old wilderness. Oh, but when his spiritual eyes were opened through the dream, he recognized that we can talk to God, that the angels ascending and descending is his prayer, is his communion with God. I've come to let you know you are more powerful. Your prayers are more powerful than you think they are. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I've come to motivate you. I've come to inspire you here this morning to let you know that your prayers, you can access God anytime, anywhere. You can lift up your voice and lift up your heart and say, God, I need you to step in. Hallelujah. Maybe that's what we need, Brother Joe. We need to pray for God to open our spiritual revelation and understanding. Just like the servant of Elijah, who they were looked around him. They were surrounded by soldiers that wanted to arrest them and kill them. And you know, he said to his master Elijah, he said, alas, master, what are we going to do? We're surrounded by all of these soldiers. We're in trouble. And so Elijah prayed for his servant. You know what he prayed for? God opened his eyes that he may see. And when he opened his eyes, he saw surrounding those soldiers was an army, a flaming fire of angels and chariots. So he could see that greater was with them than was against them. Can I pray today that God would open our eyes to see the spiritual reality? This is not all there is. The physical world is not all there is. Hallelujah. But there is a spiritual reality. I mean this in the greatest respect. Anybody grew up in the 80s like me, you remember watching Mork and Mindy? And Mork would go to his master, remember that? I'm not saying God is an alien. But I'm saying is you can have an audience with the King from the moment that you open up your mouth and begin to pray. Listen, I know we are the people of the name, and we're the people of the book, but we need to be the people of prayer. A people of prayer. Pardon me. I must have caught something from the Philippines. I think I got COVID or something. Poor Brother Nigel here has got no taste or smell. I think that there's a bit of a spike here in Sydney as well. But I prayed that I would get home, and I got home. Perhaps one of the struggles that we have too often is that we ask God to do something for us that may require that God place special favorites to us. But you got to understand that if we ask something for God to do something to us, that it could affect somebody else. A good example is that of Abraham Lincoln when he, in his magnificent second inaugural address, expressed a profound understanding of this. When they were in the middle of the Civil War in the United States, Lincoln observed of the North and the South, here's what he said. He said, both sides, the North and the South, they read the same Bible, pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered just as they had intended. Yet still, he says, it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So how can you pray? The two sides that are fighting each other are praying for the same thing. So how's God going to answer? Because he's got to answer one at the expense of the other. And here, there's really no easy way, and that's why we've got to understand that when we pray, the Bible tells us that we pray according to his will. That it is still subject to his will. And somebody said, God always answers prayers. It's either yes, no, or wait. And that's probably the hard part for us sometimes, is the wait. But I want you to know that God always answers prayer, even if it's not the answer that we need. But remember that if God already knows, like the first verse that we read here today, if he already knows what we need of, then God, why do we need to pray? And I think we need to pray because sometimes it's just we got to get into the presence of God. And sometimes we're asking for things that is not right for us, that's not going to be good for us. And so God will often answer no, but in the process, because we've been praying, something happens on the inside of us. That God is saying, no, I'm not going to give you what you're requesting because it's not good for you. It's not part of my plan for you. It's not a part of my perfect will. Yet in the process, because of our communion with God, something happens on the inside of us. We begin to change on the inside. That what we thought at this point in time, what we thought we wanted in life, as we walk and mature and begin to enter into the presence of God, we get to another stage and we recognize that it's not what we need. But God understands this, and what he does is as we come to him in prayer, and even though it's not exactly what we want, yet God begins to change us and remove the things that we thought we needed in life. Amen. But God knows exactly what we need. And so when you come to prayer, prayer is not just a place where you just simply ask for stuff. Prayer is not where you just say, here's my Christmas list, give me what I need. Prayer is not a slot machine where we put coins in the machine and we pull the lever and say, come on, Jesus, give me something. No, prayer is the reason why God still requires us to pray, because it's relationship, is a communication with God. It is something, and I'm convinced that the more you let your life become a life of prayer, things will begin to transform transform in your life, the more you become a person of prayer and you walk in daily prayer, there's something within you that begins to change. I think that's what it was when it talks about a man by the name of Enoch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and God took him. He was translated. God took him straight away because there was a closeness and an intimacy that he walked with God. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, it is possible to walk so close to God. It is possible to have such an intimacy with the Lord that you can walk hand in hand with him, because prayer is not a machine. Prayer is not something that we clock in and we clock out and think we've done our time, but prayer is relationship. Prayer is love being poured out into our hearts. Come on, somebody. What would it be if you, some of you married folks, you only talk to your spouse once a week? Oh, honey, it's Friday. We can talk now. Some folks, we only pray once a week. No, what kind of marriage is that? If you only talk once a week, but oh, when you're talking every day. Well, some of you, others are talking, others are listening. I understand. But what kind of relationship would that be if it's only one way, and if it's only you listening or you talking and nobody's listening? There's got to be a communion. There's got to be a oneness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God will talk to us. But remember, prayer is not just talking one way. You also got to listen. Listen to the voice of God that is speaking to you. The Bible tells us that God sought for a man that would stand in the gap. He looks for somebody that will pray before he does anything on our behalf. Prayer is so powerful that he had placed it in the hands of man that he would allow us to go through the hardest of circumstances. He would even allow a person to walk away from him, to turn their back from God, unless we open up our mouths and pray. You see this with the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, that they were reduced to a nation of slaves. They were enslaved for hundreds of years. Yes, the people of God, because there is not one recorded event that they prayed prior to that. But it was not until the Bible says that prayer came up before the Lord that then God began a series of events to set the people of God free. It was when their cry came up before God's presence that God sent somebody to set them free. Let me tell you, God will allow your life to be totally diminished and destroyed until you ask God. And you talk to him and invite him into your situation. If God already knows everything that we need, then why do I need to pray? I think the answer is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle," and watch this, "over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth, on the earth." This is a scripture that we often just sort of overlook. But when God created man, he gave him dominion or authority. That's what dominion means. He gave man authority over the earth to have rule over the earth. And so the reason why we need to pray is because God is a gentleman, and he will not overrule, he will not hijack, if you will, something that he has given to man. He's not going to take it back. He created man with autonomy. He created man with free will, that you can do whatever it is you want to do. He will allow you to walk away from him. He's not going to stop you. If you want to go commit sin, if you want to go and cheat and do all of that, God will not stop you. He's not going to kick that, that drug paraphernalia out of your hand. He's not going to stop you from saying these things. He will allow you because you have free will. God also gave us dominion over this earth, that we have authority over our lives. And so God will never hijack, just like the children of Israel in Exodus. He will never step in until, brothers and sisters, we allow him and give him authority to come into our lives, to step into our circumstance, and begin to work and perform on our behalf. Amen. That's why it's so important to pray, because when you pray, you're saying, God, I'm giving you authority to come into my life. I'm giving you authority to step into my circumstance and help me and strengthen me, heal me. Amen. Heal. And you know what? God always says, I will be glad to help you. I would be more than happy to intervene into your circumstance. Amen. Because he's a loving and a gracious God, but he will not do it unless we invite him, unless we open the door and say, God, that's why he says, when you pray, thy kingdom come on earth and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we want your domain. We want your authority to come into this world, to come into my life. Hallelujah, because the Bible says God is a spirit, amen? And anything in this world, this material, physical world, that is does not have a body, that it's just a spirit, is an alien. It doesn't belong. It's illegitimate. It is an intruder. That's why when Jesus came across the man from Gadara, the man that was possessed by a legion of demons, they said to him, they said, don't cast us out of nowhere, but put us into that swine, the flock of swine, the flock of pigs, because they always, spirits always need a body. They're always looking for a body to inhabit so that they could be legitimate upon this planet. And can I tell you, it's the same with God. He is a spirit, and he will not come into this domain of humanity, the domain of mankind that we have been given dominion in, until there's a body that allows the spirit legitimacy to come into this world. That's why prayer is so important. The church is the body of Christ. Amen. And we've got to open up our mouths, open up our hearts, and say, God, we want you. We're giving you authority to come into our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's just like you're taking a lease out, you're leasing or renting a property. You don't own the property. The landlord owns the property, but you sign a legal agreement of a lease that you're going to rent that place, and that the owner, even though he owns the house, he can't just come in without your permission. He can't just come in, and so even though he might have a master key, get in and go through your stuff, which is kind of weird, but he can't do that. But if he says, I want to have an inspection, then you said, okay, I'm going to open the door. And with an agreement, I'm going to give you authority to come into the house that belongs to you anyway, but you've given me the authority of this house. That's the same with your life. He's not going to force himself into your heart. He's not going to push himself into your circumstance. He's not going to coerce you and twist your arm and say, come, let me come into your life. But if you open up your heart in prayer and say, God, I'm giving you permission. I'm opening the door for you to come in and help me and have authority over my life. Oh, I promise you, you've got the resources of heaven falling upon you. He can help you with every situation. He can heal you with a prayer of faith. The Bible says it shall save the sick. He can heal you and meet every need that he promised if you ask him. That's why Jesus said, ask, you shall receive. And seek, you shall find, and knock on the door, and it shall be open. A-S-K, ask. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, prayer makes a difference? It makes a difference in us. It makes a difference in our circumstance. And if God doesn't change our circumstance, prayer makes a difference in us. Sometimes we pray, and Jesus said to us, and I'm coming to a close, musicians, you could come. He said, you can speak to the mountain. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain has got to move. But how many of you here today have a mountain you're facing. You've spoken all the words that you can, and somehow the mountain is still there. How many of you have had mountains that you've been speaking to for years and it has not moved? Well, here's what happens. When you go to God in prayer and the mountain doesn't move, God says, here you go. Here's some rope. Here's a pick. Here's an axe. Now, here's the answer to your prayer. The mountain's not going to move because I want you to climb the mountain. I want you. Come on, somebody. I've spoke to many mountains in my life, and yet I'm thinking, God, and it's shattered my faith a few times, but I came to recognize, hang on a minute, if the Bible is true, that this God is so perfect and upright, his judgments are past finding out, that he is a good God, the epitome, the very epitome of goodness, that, and the Bible tells us that he hears the prayers of his children, then why is my mountain not moved? It's because the answer to my prayer is not for my circumstance to change. The answer to my prayer, God is saying, is for me to change, to begin to climb the mountain. Because as I'm climbing, guess what? My muscles are strengthening. As I'm climbing, there's transformations taking place. I'm beginning to grow. I'm beginning to grow in my perseverance. I'm beginning to grow in my discipline. I'm beginning to grow in my determination and who I am as a child of God. There's something that's happening in me. I keep telling the mountain to move, but somehow mountain's not going. Because you know why? God is calling us to ascend our battles, our challenges, our trials. Does prayer really make a difference? Does it change the mind of God? Oh, we can look in scripture and see that God's mind was changed with the city of Nineveh. God changed his mind with some of the other experiences and people in scripture. Of course he can change. Prayer makes a difference, if not in our circumstances. Makes a difference in us. Something changes when we come into the presence of the Lord. Would you stand to your feet here today? I feel like there's some folks in here that perhaps you've seen prayer as merely a tool, a means to get what we need. But God uses prayer as a means to get our hearts, to get our minds surrendered to God. Out of everybody in this world that never needed to pray, there was one who, if there was one person that ever lived that never needed to pray, it was Jesus. It was the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. And yet, when his disciples came to him, they didn't say, Jesus, teach us how to cast out devils. They didn't say, Jesus, teach us how to multiply the bread and the fish, teach us how to walk on water. They didn't ask that. They had one request. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Because they understood that when Jesus walked out to minister to people, he didn't have long prayer meetings for them, for the deaf to hear and for the dead to be raised. He simply spoke to the dead. And so the disciples would have attributed the power of Jesus to what Jesus did in the secret place. And the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed always. Early in the morning he would get up. He would run away from the crowd so that he can go up to a mountain and pray. He would pray all night long. He prayed in the marketplace. He prayed everywhere. Because I want you to know, if anybody never needed to pray, it was Jesus. What an example for us that if you saturate your life, if you immerse yourself with this commune with God, I promise you, your problems and your trials will begin to diminish. See, we work at our problems this much and we pray this much. I wonder if we reverse that ratio and we pray this much, I believe our problems will begin to diminish this much. Hallelujah. You've got something powerful that God has gifted to you. The ability to open up your mouth and talk to Him. Talk to Him with passion. The fervent, the Bible says, fervent and effectual prayers. There's got to be a passion. There's got to be some energy expended. It shall avail much. Would you lift your voices right now? Let's do just that here today. This is a house of prayer. This is not a house of motivational speaking. This is not a house of entertainment. This is a house of prayer. This is where we as a people can talk to God all at the same time, and He hears us as if we were the only one in this universe praying and talking to Him. Would you lift your voice right now in Jesus' name? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, that we can call upon Your name and You hear us. Lord, even in the simplest prayer, with limited words, with very few, we don't even know what to pray for, but Lord, your word says Your Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Today, Lord, let us become a people of prayer. Prayer is not an act of weakness, but it is an act of submission to You where we find strength. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, right now, Lord, we give our hearts to You. We trust You, Lord God. We're going to come to You and talk to You every day. We're going to commit our lives into Your hands. We're going to submit ourselves into Your hands. And Lord, we're asking You to enter into our situation and our circumstance. We give You permission to enter our lives, Lord God, to be the ruler over our lives, to be sitting upon the throne of our hearts. Jesus, we want You to take the wheel. We want You, Lord, to be the navigator, to be the director. We want You to lead us as we submit our hearts to You. We open up our hearts, our lives, and give You authority and permission to enter in and to do a work, Lord, for our needs, for healing, for provision, for salvation, Lord, for deliverance, for strength, for wisdom, Lord, for peace, for joy. Father, we look to You right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to open up this altar, invite You to come. This altar is signifying where we commune with God. It is where we lay down our will, we lay down the sacrifice of our hearts and say, God, here it is, here am I. Whatever Your needs are, God will answer them. Is there anybody in here willing to give God the authority over their lives, permission to consume them, permission for God to baptize again, fresh and anew? This altar is open. Hallelujah. Does anybody here want to rediscover prayer, the discipline, communion with God? Perhaps for some, prayer has become routine and dull and boring. I want you to know you've got something in you. It's called faith. If you so desire, He will come to you. If you so desire, He will open up the windows of heaven, door of fellowship to come. If you need salvation, the Spirit of God is here to save you. If you've not been born again, you can commit your life in repentance and baptism, being filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's for whosoever will. Hallelujah. There's a song that they sang. It's called I Miss My Time With You. Hallelujah. Let's pray and seek Him together while He may be found.